Okay, you guys can start.
Hello, and welcome to our third in our series of podcasts on mentoring, sponsored by the Student Advisory Council of RIMS, and third in a series of five podcasts on the subject of mentoring. My name is Debbie Babcock, and I'm the Associate Director of the Cady School of Insurance at Illinois State University, and also Treasurer of the Mid-Illinois Chapter of RIMS. I will be the moderator for today's discussion. In our first podcast, we highlighted the benefits of establishing a mentoring relationship for both the industry mentor and the student mentee. In the second podcast, we discussed the selection process for mentors and students. Today, we will be talking about the actual mentoring process. Our panelists are Hal Larson, Vice President, Risk Manager of Muscatine Foods Corporation in Muscatine, Iowa. Hal is Vice Chair of the RIMS Member and Chapter Services Committee. He's a member of the RIMS Student Advisory Council, a member of the Quad City Chapter RIMS, and also on the Steering Committee on Mentoring for the Vaughn Institute at the University of Iowa. Hal has helped develop the formal mentoring program at the University of Iowa, which is in its second year and has had participation from 18 students and 16 mentors. His energy has really propelled the program, helping students gain better knowledge on career paths. Our second panelist is John Raftus, a University of Iowa risk management student who will be graduating very soon with a finance degree and a certificate of risk management and insurance, and also is past president of Gamma Iota Sigma, the insurance professional fraternity. John has accepted a position with Arthur J. Gallagher as a producer at the Des Moines, Iowa branch office where he interned for the past 2 summers, and he's also participated in the mentoring program at the University of Iowa for the past 2 years and was actually paired with Hal Larson this school year. Our final panelist is Tyler Probasco, a commercial property and casualty underwriter at United Fire and Casualty. Tyler graduated from the University of Iowa in May 2009, with a degree in finance, and also received a certificate of risk management and insurance from the Vaughn Institute of Risk Management and Insurance. During the summer of 2008, Tyler interned with Millhiser Smith Insurance Agency and United Fire and Casualty, and was an active member of Gamma Iota Sigma, holding the position of Vice President of Technology. He also participated in the joint mentoring program between RIMS and Gamma Iota Sigma, where he was also paired with Hal Larson, the risk manager for Muscatine Foods. Welcome, gentlemen. Let's start our discussion on scheduling the mentoring process with the industry mentor and the student mentee. John and Tyler, from your experience, did you find a schedule that worked well for you, and did you allot certain time to the mentoring process?
This is John, Debbie, and I'd comment on that one. I would say that from a student perspective, it had to work around our class schedule, because more times than not, Hal and I would meet during the working week, and, you know, as you can imagine, I've got class most every day, but as it turned out this school year, I did not have class on Fridays and Mondays, so it was typically my suggestion that we try to meet on those days or in the evenings, and oftentimes that would be middle of the week, like a Wednesday night or so. But it ended up being fairly easy to schedule time to spend with Hal.
Oh, good. And Tyler, how about you?
Yeah, this is Tyler. I think the most important thing would be to start your schedule early on in the semester, you know, after you hit your classes all scheduled and everything, but also before you start filling it up with other items that could be a little more flexible. We didn't allot a certain time of week. We had to work with each other's schedules, and I think it worked out the best to start it early.
Debbie, okay. This is Hal. What I did in both of these situations, I asked each of the students that I was mentoring to give me a calendar by day of their scheduled class agendas and their work agendas, recognizing that many of them work outside their school activities. And so by looking at a calendar, I could see when their open periods of hours or days were, and then we could kind of logistically work around that.
Oh, good. That's all good advice to share. Now, how often did you try to meet with your mentor, and for how long?
I can step in. This is Tyler again. We definitely tried to work out, but our schedules didn't always allow it, so we tried to get at least once a month at least. I think the more you can, the better it would be, just because there's so much that you have to do, you have to talk about. But I think the important thing is to get some kind of routine down and get a structure down. That way you get used to setting that, all of your other appointments around it.
And about how long did you meet when you did meet, Tyler?
I guess it varied depending on what the activity was, but it was at least an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, that makes good sense. Now, did you try to schedule both social time and professional time with your mentor?
Well, actually, I was involved in the first year of the mentoring, so we didn't have a whole lot of idea about what should be happening. Social activities actually wasn't something that occurred to myself and Hal, but it definitely would be something to think about and definitely a good way to get to know your mentor.
Okay, good. Well, as the programs become more formalized, I guess there's more options, more opportunities that you have different times to get together.
That's right. John,
were you the student, the one to initiate the contact in the process usually?
I would consider myself lucky because it was about half and half. Hal was very good, very proactive in prompting me to ask when I might be available to come to Muscatine for a meeting or if he could come here for a meeting. So I would say it's half and half, and I would consider myself lucky in that regard for having the mentor I did, Hal.
Okay. Because oftentimes it's important probably for the student to take that initiative if starting a new process out just to drive the relationship and really to communicate his or her sincere interest in dedicating time to the process. And so it sounds like you and Hal worked real well together driving it, which is great.
One of the things, Debbie, that the mentor needs to consider driving is the fact when they have scheduled meetings with their brokers or with outside resources or with other parties, that's not something that falls into a regular routine. A regular routine can be driven by the student, but when special events come up, webinars, seminars, renewal meetings, claims meetings, or so forth that have value, it's up to the mentor to let the student know, I've got this opportunity. If your schedule allows, we'd love to have you join us.
Well, that's a good point. That's a real good point to share with mentors, or people who are considering mentoring. Now, what worked well? Let's see, John, did you alternate where you met on campus or your mentor's work site so you could each see the environment in which you each kind of live and breathe?
Absolutely. We had a healthy balance of that. And I would say our time was almost split, kind of going back to Hal prompting me half of the time with emails to try and schedule things. Our time in the two physical locations, Muscatine and Iowa City, was split. It's an easy drive. It's, maybe 45 minutes. And he spent some time both in a classroom here. He sat in on one of our classes on a Tuesday night, and he came for a couple of scheduled meetings in conference rooms. And then I was able to spend time in Muscatine at his facility doing a plant tour, spending time doing a mock interview with his HR department, and different things like that. So.
That's an added bonus, because I was just going to ask about participation in any business meetings you might have had, either brokers or even departmental meetings, to see both the external and the internal job functions of your mentor in his or her corporate setting. So you took part in those too, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's a couple of things we did both last year and this year. Was I invited the mentors to attend a meeting with the city of Muscatine, who a group of risk managers from the area serve on an insurance committee for them. So they had an opportunity to see our interaction as, if you will, somewhat of a consultant for another party. And then as well, both John and T.J. Anderson, who was my second mentor, my student this year, went with me to Des Moines, Iowa, to sit down and go through what my broker calls a casualty insurance annual risk management review. So we had on-site, off-site, at the university, and just a real mix of places.
Oh, that's good. Anything either you students would like to add, Tyler or John?
Yeah, I think along with what Hal was saying earlier, things come up and you just kind of have to be open with that. But to start off with, it is kind of nice to have a good balance between the student and the mentor. That way it's just equal. But when things come up, you know, you just got to be ready to go.
That's kind of the real world, isn't it? How schedules change, and we do have to react.
One of the things we learned out of this process, and John and TJ and I sat down the other night and assessed what we had done this past year, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more in the next podcast. But one of the comments that TJ and John brought back to me was, after we had those meetings with the outside resources, it would have been nice to have, in a day or two after the student had digested what went on, kind of a recap meeting and sat down and talk about what did they learn, what didn't they understand, and I thought that was a great set of input for a change for the future.
Oh, that's a good, very good observation to incorporate. That's a great idea. For you students, John, Tyler, were you able to include your mentor, Hal, in any of your school activities, either with like Gamma Iota Sigma activities or even in the classroom? Were you able to involve him?
Yeah, I would speak to that one. This is John. Our Gamma Iota Sigma group brings in speakers. We meet every other Sunday evening, and I believe it was, it may have been a couple of semesters ago, but we brought Hal in as one of our guest speakers, and we try to vary. We bring in risk managers, brokers, underwriters, and for that particular semester, he was our one exposure to the risk management perspective, a risk manager of a corporation. So we brought him in to speak to our group. He came to an etiquette dinner that our mentoring program hosted in February of this year. And like I mentioned a little bit ago, he even came and sat in on one of our insurance classes on a Tuesday night when some student groups were giving presentations. So, yes, we did involve him in school activities.
And that, Alan, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
I enjoyed every minute of it. And in addition to that, the three of us went to an NCAA championship wrestling meet in Iowa City.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
We took a little bit of fun as well.
There's some social time that you incorporated. That's great. Excellent. Well, did anyone have a favorite place to meet, or any good suggestions for those considering the mentoring?
One place that I found that really worked out well was on campus in the business library there. They have conference rooms that are off the library, and it's a nice private place, but they also have a computer in there where it was nice. Hal can review my resume. We could go over, you know, search on your job descriptions on businesses' websites, and he also showed me the room's website as well, and it was really beneficial to have a nice private room where there was also computer access.
Oh, great. Well, good. Well, thank you. Let's see, Hal, it sounds like you were able to involve other industry professionals in the mentoring process.
Most definitely. Students don't necessarily have a singular focus, and respecting that in this case, John specifically was looking to get into the brokerage world, not necessarily today, but who knows, maybe in the future, enter into risk management. And so I thought it was important that I let John see the perspective of how a broker works with a risk manager, a position that he's going to be put in the future of sitting on the other side of the desk. And so even though I wasn't working in his field, and I had worked in a similar field like him years ago, but it gave him a chance to see both sides, the interaction between the risk manager and the broker. And the same thing occurred when the broker made them their presentations to the city of Muscatine. He got to see the broker's presentation to the city, and he also got to see four different risk managers' perspective serving on the committee as to the presentation made to the city.
Well, evidently that really benefited John because he accepted a position in the brokerage area, so that worked out real well. For you students, for Tyler, John, were you able to meet some of Hal's colleagues that worked in his company to see how risk management is addressed across the company in the enterprise risk management approach?
You know, I could speak to that one. When his broker came in to do the renewal meeting, I believe it was a couple months ago, I got to sit in on that one, and it was actually, that particular day, Hal was the only representative of Muscatine Foods Corporation in the room, and the brokers presented, and I got to observe. So in that regard, I guess I didn't get to spend time with other colleagues in his corporation that had input on the risk management process.
Short of the time that we had each John and TJ spend with HR, going through a mock interview and a resume review and advice. That was about all we accomplished this year. That's something more and new that I want to do next year is get some interaction between other departments. They did have some interaction with the safety department in that we had a meeting with safety and then went out on a plant tour. So there was some minimal reaction. And Tyler, I don't believe we did or got much of that accomplished a year ago, that the program just hadn't matured to the point that we recognized that. I think you went to the city's meeting with me, and I don't know that we got a lot of internal corporate interaction here. And so there's an area for significant improvement in our program.
So that's right. I definitely think it would have been beneficial to see the interaction. That's a whole different aspect of risk manager that a student might not think of is your interactions with everyone else in the company or brokers and such. That would have been very interesting.
And I guess that even comes more to light this morning. I just spoke to all of the executives of all of our companies and all of the senior management staff and made a presentation on the risk management strategy for our company. And we try to communicate things to people, but sometimes don't get it broadcast far enough. And it was a great opportunity for the mass of our senior management of the company to understand our risk management strategy and our risk management programs. And that's something that I think I need to figure out how to build that concept into more of an exposure for the students in the future.
Well, this is just a great opportunity just to kick around some ideas, and maybe it'll spark interest in someone who is listening to the podcast on some of these different ideas. Did you, Tyler, John, interact with any different professional groups, such as HAL's local RIMS chapter or the CPCU chapter or any other industry groups?
This is John. Yes, I did. HAL's, the RIMS chapter that he's a part of, the Quad Cities chapter, helped organize, and they actually held their first chapter meeting of the year back in September here on campus, and they, in addition, brought in some CPCU chapter members to give a few brief presentations. So Hal, you know, helped corral the troops and brought a few presentations and a nice meal here to the students on campus to start the school year. I thought that was really cool.
You have to understand, students think a nice meal is a Jimmy John sandwich.
Yes, with potato chips.
Well, that's a great idea to bring together some different professionals and really reinforces the professional designations in different areas, so that was a great idea. Now, as we move into communication, what did you folks find is the best means of communicating with your mentor, or did you use assorted methods for different types of activities?
I can speak on that one.
Go ahead, Tyler. Yeah.
Sorry about that. The best means of communication for the meetings actually was face-to-face. You just get the personal interaction, really get to know your mentor a lot better. We really didn't use many other means of communications, but, you know, maybe after the student graduates and may move away, a phone call or email might be a better method of communication for the future.
Okay, John, did you have anything to add to that?
What I would add is, face-to-face was the best. Hal and I and TJ, who Hal was also mentoring at the same time, TJ's a friend of mine, I think we did, it may have been one or two times when we did a quick conference call, but for the most part we tried to get together face-to-face. And as a means to set up those meetings, email was without a doubt the best method to set those up.
The only caveat that you have to throw in there is it was logistically convenient for John and TJ and I to get together. And we have some mentor-student matches that are upwards to 2.5 hours apart. And so in those cases, we don't want to disrespect that face-to-face may be the best and the most preferred, but you also have to consider the logistics and staying in contact. Involving a student in a webinar that you're participating in, even though you're just a participant, is another way. So you have to use the resources available for what works.
Okay. Yeah. Did you maintain a log of your different interactions with your mentor? Did you kind of keep track of the different things you did?
I would speak to that one, and I would say no. And it's funny because about 5 minutes before I hopped on this call, I had to quick write down and I made a list. I got about, you know, 8 or 10 lines of different things that we did, but I did not. That is one suggestion I would make to students who are listening to this podcast who are part of a mentoring relationship. Keep the log as you go, because it was a little bit difficult for me to recall some of the things that we did.
Okay.
And I can speak to that. In fact, I did do an incremental log. I kept it partially because of helping design the program, partially wanting to build the program forward and enhance it, but also being able to remember as you get older, you forget some things, remember what we talked about and what we did before. So, yeah, the incremental log, I think, is a very good thing to keep.
Okay, and what about a blog system or any other social media systems? Any use in there that you might suggest to potential people?
Hal, do you want to talk to that one?
Well, yeah, the University of Iowa created a blog system through, they actually set up a site, a website for the mentoring program. It is specific to the University of Iowa's Vaughan Institute Certificate of Risk Management mentoring program, and there is a blog system built into it. And it allows, and we encourage mentors and students to post a question or post a statement and then ask for others to weigh in on their thoughts on it. And two of the students from the University of Iowa went to the most recently held RIMS annual conference in Boston. And Austin Duke took the time to post questions about his experiences and the things that he was doing at the RIMS conference and then sent it back to the university so other students could kind of see what was going on, could weigh in on it, and could get a cross feed of information. And it's new, it's working, it's not as much as we wanted, but I think it's a great system. Finding the communication system that works for the students is critical, because we may live off of emails that may not be what the student population works on, so you really have to drill down to figure out what they use.
That's really true, and I applaud you for trying different means, and it sounds like the blog is a great idea to involve more people that maybe aren't able to be on site at some of these conferences or what have you, to really give them the feel, and so that's excellent. Now, when we move talking about objectives, Hal, what were your objectives as a mentor when you became involved in the mentoring process?
Well, initially it started out as me wanting to find a path for the students to see reality of life in the profession that they're achieving to become. And in the process, it kind of evolved into a two-way street. We've done some reverse mentoring, where I asked the students to share with me social media and social media communication systems and how they worked and how they could benefit other sides. And so the whole purpose, I guess, kind of boils down to an opportunity to share, to create a degree of awareness and reality for both parties of what's going on in the world of academia, and what's going to be going on for the student as they go out into the world of the profession of their chosen career.
Okay, then from the student's perspective, Tyler and John, what were your objectives when you became involved in the mentoring process?
I can start off here. Pretty much when I heard of the mentoring program, I thought it would be a good idea, you know, just to get more knowledge, especially of the opportunities that are out there after you graduate college. There's so many different opportunities and that you just don't learn about in class, and you know, you don't get to become the next Hal Larson just once you graduate college. So I was also curious on how you get to be to Hal Larson's position, or you know, any other position like that where you're not necessarily going to be there right out of college, but you know, a career path that you would take to get to that. So that was definitely the biggest objective for me. It was just to learn what all was out there and how to get there.
As far as objectives for me entering the mentoring process here with Hal, there were a few things, one of which was to develop professionally. I think we hear that phrase here a lot around the College of Business, professional development. But it, in this interaction with, you know, a professional who works in this industry, this insurance risk management industry, I got the opportunity to sort of sharpen and make a little bit more crisp my communication, both verbally and you know, in typing emails, et cetera. So it was an opportunity to develop myself professionally. And then in addition to that, it was the exposure. Because by the time I entered the mentoring program, I had already spent one summer in the brokerage business as an intern at Gallagher and was turned on by the business. And spending time with Hal, I got the opportunity to witness the broker-client relationship, and that was, in my opinion, very beneficial for me.
There's one other byproduct that comes out of this, and I don't know that any of us really started out to focus on it or necessarily thought about it, but it's certainly become a byproduct, and that's broadening the network that the student has with the industry that they're coming to, and as well broadening the network of the mentors back to the students and the university.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like everyone's objectives were met, what you've all talked about.
I'm certainly happy with them, but I'm just one party in the group.
Well, did this experience for you, John and Tyler, did it give you a better understanding of a risk manager's role, and did it validate and expand on what you're learning in the classroom?
I could chime in on this one. Yes, it did validate what I was learning in the classroom. The particular class that Hal attended is taught by Ty Lefferty, and it's called Corporate and Financial Risk Management, and Ty is an excellent professor, and what he talks about a lot is enterprise risk management, you know, across the whole board, covering the entire gamut of the company, and, you know, my exposure to Hal throughout this process, he's a risk manager of a large corporation, and I got to spend time with him as he participated in an annual insurance review, an annual casualty insurance review, and I got to spend time with him in a renewal meeting with his broker, at his office. So this experience definitely gave me a better understanding of Hal's role, of a risk manager's role.
Okay. And let's see, on mentoring best practices, anyone want to share any mentoring best practices that you might have experienced?
I can say that probably the most interesting and most basic activity was just a Q&A, you know, right off the bat. It sounds pretty simple, but it's nice to just be able to fire off as many questions as I can think of, you know, all the burning questions I have that I never get a chance to ask my professors or anything like that. And he has all the answers from a risk manager's perspective, and, you know, he might say that there are other perspectives out there, and he might point me in the right direction of where I can get that. But, you know, it's definitely nice to get all the questions that I have, at least from a risk manager's point of view.
I would chime in on best practices as well. Q&A is important, and I did get an opportunity to do that with Hal, and it was beneficial. In addition to that, and this is probably the third or fourth time I've brought it up, but the broker risk manager interaction that I got to observe, and frankly, it was a rather casual setting, and I was given the opportunity to ask questions if I had them. So both the annual insurance review and the renewal meeting. Truly, that was, for me, mentoring best practices.
Hal, did you have any that you wanted to share?
Oh, I guess none specific that we haven't already talked about. I think we've covered a lot of the activities, and as far as I'm concerned, I think they were all good in different aspects and different degrees, so I won't repeat them.
All right, that's fine. Well, now, are there any improvements, Hal, that you would see as a mentor for improving the mentoring process?
Well, I think we talked about two of them already. One of them was the recommendation that John and TJ brought back to me in our kind of concluding dinner the other night of having the opportunity after they sit in on one of these experiences to kind of digest it and talk about it later, and then maybe have more questions at a later date rather than being absorbed in it at the time. And the second was to make a greater effort to get a interrelationship experience for them with people in finance or accounting or safety or HR here in our operations so that they get a little cross-reference of experience.
Excellent. And Tyler and John, do you have any suggestions for improving the student side of the program?
You know, Hal hit the two that were on my mind, so I don't know if I can add to that.
Tyler, you have something?
You know, when I started out in the mentoring program, it was fresh. It was something new to the university. So I've seen so far that the structure has definitely benefited, you know, just for the student to put it in their schedule and hold themselves to it to get out there. So that was more of a suggestion for myself for the future. but also even after college, to continue that relationship is a great idea because there's so many more questions and so much more that you can learn once you're even out of college and into the industry.
And Tyler hit upon the subject of our fifth and final When We Do It podcast. The fourth podcast will address assessing the mentoring process and evaluation, but the last one is going to talk about mentoring post-graduation. And that may be staying in contact with your collegiate mentoring individual, but it also may be finding a mentor within your company to help you navigate through the ways. I can say one thing that Tyler's comment about a structure to the program is critical. We did it the first year, and it was kind of loose-knit, and I think we did a good job. This year, the structure has been more formalized, and it's going much better. And I can tell you that the new folks that are coming in to take over after John and TJ are already working hard. They have structures put in place and are preparing to get started for September when the students come back to campus, and in fact have set a new target of increasing from 9 students in the mentoring program to 15 students. So every year it grows, it matures, and it gets better. And I guess my first comment is be patient. It isn't perfect to start. Work hard at it, and it will get better.
Thank you to our panelists, Hal Larson, John Raftus, and Tyler Probasco. And to you for listening to our podcast today. A generous thank you for the sponsorship by the RIM Student Advisory Council supporting this educational initiative. There will be 2 more podcasts developed and posted in the 5-part series of the RIM's mentoring program over the next 2 months. You may find each podcast at our website of www.rims.org/mentoring. Thank you.